Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, on the back of your chimes are the minister's office hours. Also on Tuesday, March 22nd, there is a work day from 9 to noon. Extra hands are always welcome. This coming Friday is Good Friday, and the Good Friday service will be at the City Church of Connellsville from 12 to 1:30. That's down on Pittsburgh Street where Swans used to be. Also, we have on Good Friday our prayer labyrinth over in the other room. And if you've never come for the prayer labyrinth, it is a very spiritual experience to do that. So that is from 10 to 4, and there is a handout in your chimes for that. Don't forget tonight that we have the presentation of the Last Supper performance, a very, very moving performance of Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. And I heard Jackie saying, there are no more tickets. Am I right, Jackie? So hopefully everybody got a ticket. And if you didn't, we'll try and squeeze you in here someplace. All right. Chris, did you have an announcement?
Good morning. As Gary was telling you about the events of Holy Week, I just want to expand a little bit on them. So this Thursday, we will have our common meal. Now, we're not going to have the Tanabra service that we had in the past. We're just going to have the common meal, which will be over here in the Easter room at 7. And if you haven't been, I hope that you will come and enjoy it. It's a meal of breads, different types of breads, and just kind of recreates, to some degree, the Last Supper, and we will have a little bit of a worship element at the beginning. You do not have to RSVP for that, but if you're planning on coming, let me know, just so I have some basic general idea of how many seats to set and that sort of thing. That's going to be Thursday at 7. The prayer labyrinth is open to the public on Friday, Good Friday, from 10 to 4, but it will be done late Thursday afternoon. It will be done in time for the common meal, so if you're planning on coming to the common meal, you will be able to walk through the prayer labyrinth then as well. And if you want to, on Good Friday, it's from 10 to 4, and it takes about 15 to 20 minutes, and it should be really, it's a come and go. Anytime you can come, the door will be open, and I'll be there to greet you. It should be a very good experience for everybody, and you would still be able to head to City Church for the Good Friday service if you so wished. And next Sunday, we will have, of course, our Easter service, and we'll have a little bit of an Easter egg hunt after the service for all the kids and the big kids as well. So I look forward to celebrating Easter with you next week. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements?
Jerry?
Yes, Jerry.
After church today, if some of the fellows can stick around and move all the furniture out of the sanctuary in preparation for tonight, we have to take it over to the dining room. So I'll give you some instructions. We'll need some manpower.
Okie doke. Any other announcements? No? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 190. Tell me the stories of Jesus, and please stand. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading in your chimes. Happy are they who know the festal shout, who exalt in God's name all day long,
and extol God's righteousness.
Let us pray. Today we join that great throng from every nation and tribe on earth who over all the centuries have greeted Jesus with palm branches and shouts of praise. Hear us as we join believers past and present saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. For it is in his name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This time we will have the lighting of the Lenten cross. This is the Sunday that celebrates the entry of Christ into Jerusalem. As the people waved palm branches and shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There's a beautiful Italian custom of offering palms blessed by the priest on Palm Sunday as token of reconciliation and peace to those with whom they have quarreled or been on not so friendly terms. The lighting of the Lenten cross, it is a responsive reading. Blessed be the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Cross shines in splendor.
The cross is our victory and our strength.
May we have the courage to forgive those who have offended us and the faith to renew our commitment to the Lord each day of the year. Father in heaven, out of your great love for the world, you reconciled earth to heaven through your Son Jesus. Fill us with your tenderness that we may all be reconciled to one another in love and mutual affection. Amen. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Let us place before God the signs of our faith, the evidences of our commitment, our sacrifices of praise. Our offertory hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 204, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and 19 through 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech thee, give us success. Blessed be he who enters in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I will extol thee. Will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the hearing and reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is All Glory, Laud, and Honor by our sanctuary choir.
Today we commemorate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and I'm sure that many of the people were expecting the King of the Jews to be a mighty warrior. But by the end of the week, they realized that he was their savior. When I chose a donkey instead of a stallion, I not only fulfilled a prophecy, I let others know that my choice was born of humility rather than pride. I signaled to all that I was acting from divine obedience rather than human ego. It was a choice made out of my love for you.
Hosanna indeed. Hosanna in the highest. Good morning. As we gather this morning at the Christ Church Connellsville on Palm Sunday, we do lift up our voices together to shout Hosanna to the King of Kings. And of course, at the end of the service, we will have our palms that we can wave high. I don't know if it wasn't mentioned this morning. If you're interested, the Palm Sunday March is happening again today after church. And you can join the procession just outside and head on down to Lions Square, where the different churches will gather together to celebrate on this day, this triumphant and joyous day. It's such an interesting day in the Christian calendar that perhaps there is no more joyous day other than Easter than Palm Sunday. But we know what comes in between. To go from the joy of shouting Hosanna to the King of Kings on Palm Sunday to shouting He is risen indeed on Easter, but in between, we have betrayal, denial, crucifixion, and different types of shouting. And so as Christians, we should be encouraged to walk the journey each step of the way this week. Not go from Sunday to Sunday because we miss out on basically the entire story in between. It's almost as if someone were to take a book and to read the opening chapter and to read the ending chapter, the nice beginning and the happy ending, and think, what a lovely, happy story, and then miss all the parts in between that really are the most important parts, because we believe in Jesus Christ that all things will work towards good to those who love God, yet we know that in between there will be very difficult moments and very difficult situations and very painful days. And it's because we believe that Christ can help us and save us from those things, even from our worst instincts and sins, that the day of Easter has so much joy. And so let us come together this morning to lift up our prayers to God, prayers of thanksgiving for all that God is doing and will do, but also prayers of petition for the one who can help us above all others. Let's begin with the joys. What joys do we have to share this morning? What thanksgivings do we want to lift up today? Bill? Sharon? It's wonderful news. We rejoice with that. And you're welcome. You're welcome. And we. Thank you for sharing that. What else do we have? What other joys? Sonny. Give thanks that Janet is doing better. We did get the word this week, and it did sound very dire. I'm glad that she is doing better. Thank you for sharing that. Jerry. That's good news. That's good news. Thank you for sharing that. Is that also what you were going to say, Donna? Do you have something else? We celebrate with her family then as they experience a resurrection of their own this Easter season and hope that she will go home soon. Are there other Thanksgivings to share? Yes, Heidi? That's wonderful news. Thank you. Look forward for her traveling and also cultural understanding that she shares with us. Thank you for sharing that with us. Gary. Wonderful news. Before we open up for concerns, I want to share something kind of along those lines. I don't know if you've heard this before. The minister of the Carmichael's Christian Church, Reagan Fike, an old friend of mine, and she had a church member, and listen, don't get any ideas, okay? But she had a church member who needed a liver transplant, and she had herself tested, and she gave 60% of her liver to her church member. And her church member is doing better than ever, and she's recovering well as also. I think it's been 2 months now since this has occurred. But I can't think of any more self-giving act of a... She's like Minister of the Year, right? I mean, she just sets that bar way too high. It's not fair. But I just want to give thanks that her church member is doing well and that she's doing well and celebrate... I wish I remember her church member's name, but Reverend Fike and her sacrifice there. It's such wonderful news. I got to see her this week, and she's just doing great. And now, continue to give thanksgivings, but also concerns. If we have concerns we want to lift up this morning, please do share. Jerry? We lift him up to God, knowing God knows his name. Thank you. Sonny? Thank you. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, King of kings, God of the Most High, we come into your house this morning with thanksgiving and praise. Prepared to shout hosannas, shout hallelujahs. We come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose name is above all names, and who has lit the way for us to go. And we come asking, where would we be, O Lord, without your love? With all that we have and all that we are, we praise your holy name. Blessed are they who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you who gather in Christ's name. We remember that day 2,000 years or so ago when your Son entered into the city of Jerusalem, welcomed as he should have been, and we rejoice as he was celebrated as the King of Kings and as your Son, as the long-awaited Messiah. We lift our voices with theirs, with a crowd that day shouting Hosanna. But we also remember what happened next and pray that you will help us to keep us from running out of steam and enthusiasm. Help us to keep our faith strong when the going gets rough. Help us not to deny him when others do. Help us not to forget him when things are difficult. Keep our faith through Monday, Thursday, and Holy Friday, Good Friday, all the way until Easter Sunday, that we may celebrate again, truly and completely, the victory that is final and complete, and yet is still playing out, the victory over death, the victory into eternal life that your Son calls us to live. We are astonished, O Lord, at your love and your faithfulness, and amazed at the inconsistency, the incompleteness, and the faithlessness of human love. In light of our failure, are we even more astonished that through you, your love for all, through your Son, your love for all humanity is made manifest. And we have nowhere to dwell but in your love. And so we come to you this morning to lift up our joys, to lift up our concerns, to lift up all that we are and have, knowing that it all belongs to you. And we know that you read our hearts, and still we open them, that we may know and see and hear the concerns and joys of one another, and the ways in which you would have us respond. We give thanks that Sharon's blood report has come back good. We give thanks that Janet is doing better and is awake, and hopefully we will go home soon. And we give you thanks that Bill is going home soon. And we give you thanks that those who had cancer are doing well. We give thanks that Tatum is doing well, and pray for her as she awaits her surgery. And give thanks for the recovery of Reverend Fike as she has given of herself to help others. We celebrate all these signs of resurrection and all these signs of good news in our world, and attest that they all come from you, the maker of heaven and earth and all good things and all blessings which come from above. And we turn to you in our need as well, asking for still more. And we know that, again, you know our needs, and you know our wants, and you know what is best. And we simply pray to you that you will help us to see them, that we may also want what you want. We lift up to you all those who have been mentioned this morning, all those who are in our hearts and minds, all those who are in your need. And we count ourselves among that number. For we all need your mercy and your grace, and we all need your love and your life. And so today we shout Hosanna, and we acknowledge you as King of Kings, as the one who has come in the name of the Lord. Help us to do so not just today, not just on Palm Sunday, and not just on Easter Sunday, but on each day in between. For you are with us always. You are faithful and steadfast even when we are not. And so you are the only one that we may turn to in our need and in our joy. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Come on down, come on down. Hey, Ian, can I ask your help for a second? Could you come stand with me for a second? I need you to model your crown for me, okay? Now, other kids are coming, so we're not quite here. Come on down, come on down, come on down. Okay, guys. What is Ian wearing on his head today? A crown. Oh, wait, Ellie, look what Ellie's got on her head. What has Ellie got on her head? Is anybody else coming, Ellie? Okay, thank you. Ian, you can have a seat. You did a good job. So why do you think that Ian and Ellie have crowns on their heads today? You want to sit right here? Why do you think they have crowns on their heads today? Because Jesus and people? What about it? Exactly. Okay, so is Ian a king? Is Ellie a queen? But they have their crowns today because today is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is a day that we acknowledge that Jesus is what? A king. Is he a king, or is he a special king? He's the King of Kings. Like, there are kings, and then there's the King of Kings, right? So, Jesus was around for about 30 or so years. And many people believed in him, didn't they? And when I say they believed in him, they thought that he was the Son of God. They thought he was the Messiah, which is that God's chosen one to bring about the kingdom of God. But one thing they said is he was the King of Kings. And especially on this day. So on Palm Sunday, what happened? Not to Bethlehem. He rode to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the capital of the nation of Israel. He rode to Jerusalem on a donkey, and people laid down palms. Were they happy to see him? How many people were happy to see him? Five people? 500, more like. Yes, exactly. So, up to this point, a handful of people here and a handful of people there have liked Jesus, and they have acknowledged who he is. But now, he gets to the capital city, and they treat him like a king. He basically gets to be king for a day. Would you like to be king for a day? If you could be king for a day, what would you do? Good stuff? I'm glad to hear that, because not everybody would. What would you do, Simon? He would take the money out of the treasury so he could be king for most of the time. Yeah, I don't know if that's good or bad. What would you do? If I were king for a day, right? Yeah, if I were king for a day, I would make everybody bring me chocolate peanut butter eggs. If I were king for a day, I would make a decree all across the land that you had to give me a Reese's peanut butter, chocolate peanut butter egg. What? Oh, he'd take that money, he'd give it to the poor. So, a little iffy, but hey, good, all right. What would you do if you were king for a day? That's pretty much what Simon said. You guys are on the same page there. One more. Anyone else? Well, if you're a king for a day, then you know you have all this power, okay? And it was great. But then, like, you got to be careful because the next day, guess what? You're not the king anymore. And you could, if you upset anybody, they might come looking for that money, right? Or all the people that had to give me peanut butter eggs, they might want me to pay them back, right? Point is, it's not all that fun to be king for a day. And Jesus found that out. You know why? What happened 4 or 5 days later? Say that again. He wouldn't be king, and what did you say? He got crucified. How do we go from being king, okay, to being crucified? How do we get to that point? Okay, excellent. Some people didn't like him, but also, as you pointed out, there already was a king. His name was King Herod, and he was not happy, all right? And a lot of people knew him, and they weren't happy either. So we understand what happened. And we celebrate it this week, and we know that the story ends pretty well for Jesus, and it ends pretty well for us, but there is a challenge for us, okay? We acknowledge that Jesus is king today, right? Are we going to only do it today? Only today? No, that's the point. Every day. Are you going to do it tomorrow and Tuesday and in the summer? Yeah, in the winter? Yes. And on the third Thursday of every week?
Yes.
All right.
Every day.
Every day we should acknowledge that Jesus is king. But not king of America, not king of the world. Let's sit down. We're almost done here. King of kings. Better than anybody else we've ever known and will know. Okay? So you wear your crowns today, okay? But I want you to remember that Jesus is king every day. And what does Jesus offer us in heaven? Eternal life. And sometimes people like to refer to it as a crown in heaven, okay? So let's remember that Jesus is king every day, not just today, okay? You can go to your classes now. Thank you. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 19, verses 28 to 40, and that is found on the New Testament portion of Read Pure Bible on page 83. We have talked so much already about Jesus' triumphal entry into the city, but it's as if we don't need to read it. But let us do so and listen again with fresh ears, even if we've heard this passage 100 times. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. After throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole of the multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's just something about a crowd. And I don't know what it is that makes them so fascinating, other than the fact that we look at that and we say, well, not only is there safety in numbers, but there must be excitement in numbers. They must know something I don't. I don't want to be left out of what they are enjoying. We're so scattered in our focus, us human beings, so intent on our own issues and thoughts that it is often hard to even catch someone else's attention walking along a busy street. If you take a look at a picture of New York City, you'll see hundreds of people who are alone in a crowd. Literally alone in a crowd. But when something happens that is extraordinary enough to capture the attention of all those people, that's powerful. Very powerful. Because nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. There is a tipping point. That once enough people are going to a restaurant, then people drive out by and they see all the cars and think, I must go there. Or if they see enough people listening to someone, they think, I must listen to that person. I remember that one time, having this very experience. I was at a concert at Starlake Amphitheater. I don't know what they call it now, but that's what it was called when I went, out in Burgettstown. And there are 20,000 people at this concert. And my seats were not bad. They were kind of close up to the front. But out there on the lawn, we saw people being excited about something. We saw a large group of people all start rushing up to the hill. If you've ever been there, you can picture it in your mind. There's a lawn, and it goes up, and then it kind of goes over. And so we left our relatively good seats, my friends and I, and we went to go see what all the fuss was about. And to this day, I still don't know what all the fuss was about. I just still remember that, just following the crowd to see what was going, and then getting up over the hill, and nothing was going on, and everybody else was confused too. I guess something happened like 20 minutes ago that caused like a dozen people to go check it out, which caused another dozen, and then a dozen, but by the time we got there, it was all over. All we did was mindlessly follow the crowd, because nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. The only other time I can remember seeing anything like this was in grade school. You could always tell who the popular kids were by the crowds that they attracted on the playground at recess. I can still name for you the popular kids at Warwood Elementary School in 1986. And they were the kids that I wanted to be friends with and the crowd that I wanted to get in with. I don't know what made them popular. I mean, they are popular because, for whatever reason, the clothes they wore and the things they did were considered cool, but at some point, you know, they got to be the cool kids, and then we started following them and trying to act like them. We all knew who they were, and they had a power on everyone else to make them do things they normally wouldn't do just to be accepted by the popular kids. The in crowd has a power like nothing else. If the cool kids wanted to play kickball, the crowd was going to play kickball. If they decided the kickball wasn't cool anymore and foursquare was the way to go, that's what we were going to be doing every day at recess. If they decided that the rules of foursquare no longer benefited them, they would change them. And there were all kinds of house rules that we came up with because that's what the cool kids wanted to do. And we went along with it, even though it was against our... those rules did not benefit us, because we wanted to be part of that crowd. The problem with the crowd is that no one feels like an individual, and it makes it easy for a handful of charismatic, we might say Machiavellian-type people, or smart grade schoolers, to control them. I just want to point out that many of the kids in the cool crowd that I know of today, many of them have turned out to be politicians and lawyers. That's probably not related in any way. It's probably just a coincidence. And we don't just see this behavior on the playground in our time. It's evident anywhere that we wish to look or at any time in history. It's no more evident than the story that we've read today, the story of Palm Sunday. Certainly Jesus was the most popular man in Jerusalem for a while. We say for a day, but you know, it probably lasted 2 or 3 days before things changed. On Palm Sunday, he had control of the crowd. The people were so moved with excitement that they shook off their robes and they laid them on the road. I mean, what does it take to get someone to do that? This is rock star excitement that he's creating here. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save now." So actually, we're even going beyond rock star excitement. When they say "save now," they're like, "save us." But the issue, of course, is that what they wanted to be saved from, or what they thought he could save them from, was different than what he actually came to save them from. I wonder how many people even knew who Jesus was, though, at that crowd. Because I very much believe that many people in the crowd saw an excited crowd gathering and shouting, and they came to have a look. It was a parade, and who does not want to be part of a parade? Who does not want to see what the people are excited about, to see what all the fuss is? Parades are easy. They're fun, and nothing draws a crowd like doing something easy and fun. And this was his moment. This was Jesus' moment. Now he has the crowd eating out of his hand. Finally, a large group of people in just the right place and time are acknowledging who he is. And in that moment, he could have asked them to do anything. And the ardent believers in the crowd, I believe, would have done it. And most, if not all, of the curious onlookers would have gone along for the ride, if for no other reason than the dreaded fear of missing out. In the days now of social media, that is like a syndrome, a FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. Because so many people see all the fun things that people are doing. They see them on their phones and on their Facebook pages, and they want to do them too. And they can't put down their phones because of fear of missing out. They're going to miss something cool that everyone's talking about the next day. Now, obviously, that wasn't the problem back in Jesus' time, but the impulse was still there. The fear of missing out was still there. And that is a big part of what drives the crowd on Palm Sunday. If Christ had been a popular kid, if he had been a politician, or indeed a king, as many people thought, but not the king that type of king that he was, but the type of king that they expected, he could have used this crowd to do his will, or really any number of things. He likely could have taken over the whole city. But he didn't. For Jesus was not a Messiah in the sense that people had thought, and he was not king in the way people understood. And one of the ways that we know that, as Wanda had read earlier today, is the fact that he came on a donkey. Not on a war horse, not on a chariot, but on a donkey, a sign of humility. He had not come to crush his enemies or the enemies of the people under his heel and restore the glory that was Israel's in the days of Solomon and David. In fact, Mark says that he looked around the city on this day. He looked around the city and then he left. He comes in with such fanfare, such joy, such passion. And in that moment, could have had them do anything and instead leaves. He goes to Bethlehem. He goes just outside. He goes to Bethany, rather, just outside of the city and spends some time there with his friends. And when he returns, a day or two later, he actually starts to criticize a lot of the people who had supported him, or a lot of the people that should have been on his side. He cleanses the temple of the money changers, calls them thieves, a den of robbers in his father's house. He tells people to forgive others. He declares the temple will be destroyed. And in 3 days, raised again. And the gospel writers indicate that what he was saying was his body. What he's referring to was his body, the temple of his body. But you know that people did not understand that when they heard him say that. And so these are reasons that we understand for the people to move from shouting Hosanna to the King of Kings on Palm Sunday and then shouting Crucify Him on Good Friday. You can imagine the people were quite disappointed in this turn of events. They were full of energy and enthusiasm, and when Jesus left, they had no outlet for that passion. When this happens, the situation is ripe for others to use their persuasive powers to control the crowd. After Palm Sunday, many religious authorities who had built an empire based upon using the guise of righteousness to gain political power saw the threat that Christ presented, and when he did not make the most of his opportunity that the crowd presented him, they made the most of theirs. And once that happened, the joyful and jubilant parade of Palm Sunday became the dour and difficult march to Good Friday. And then opposing Jesus, wanting to crucify Jesus, rather than following him and praise him, that became the easy thing to do. That became the cool thing to do. That's what all the end kids were doing today. What was it that caused such change? Well, we've touched upon it already. What could have caused people to go from declaring him King of Kings to preferring later on the release of a thief, Barabbas, over him? Well, in short, the answers are promises. More specifically, it is broken promises. The events of Palm Sunday leading into Holy Week give us an example of the power and the fickleness of the mob mentality. It's so great when they are with you, so terrible when they are against you. And they can turn so fast that by the time you know it has happened, it is too late to stop it. And that's really what goes on with Jesus. Of course, we trust and believe that Jesus understood what was happening and knew what was going to happen and then went ahead with it anyway. And we understand that with Jesus Christ, a big part of the issue here is that people simply read into him their own expectations and their own beliefs and their own desires. But he came not to do their will, but to do God's will instead. And this is a good warning for us at all times, but especially a good warning in a time of election for any politician to heed, not that I think that any of them will. Be careful of promises we make in order to whip up a crowd, lest we fail to deliver and the crowd whips up on us. But of course, we know that Jesus was no politician. He was the Messiah, God's anointed, something far greater. But with that came then far greater expectations. I do not believe that he was making promises he could not keep. Rather, he fulfilled them in ways that the people could not understand. If he was king of the Jews, that certainly meant to the people that he would come and he would get rid of this King Herod who had plagued them for so long and that they all disliked. Well, who they all hated. If he were the long-awaited Messiah, God's chosen, God's anointed, then surely he would get rid of these Romans, these pagans whom they despised, who had been occupying their country for 100 or more years. But Jesus doesn't do either of these things. Many scholars speculate, because the Bible doesn't really tell us, why did Judas betray Jesus? many people speculate that after he came in on the city, and people cheered and yelled his name, and he did not then immediately go to rid the people of Herod and Rome, but instead then started to criticize the priests in the temple. Many people believe that's why Judas did it, that he was so disheartened, so he himself felt betrayed. Again, this is what people are speculating. It doesn't say in the Bible, but I think there's real truth there, that he had expectations that Jesus never intended to fulfill. Jesus got into the most trouble for following through on one of his promises, though, as he set about cleansing the temple. The crowd was with him when they thought he had come to Jerusalem to shake things up in their favor, according to their desires. But when he began to make waves, it became real. And the backlash became real. And following him was no longer so much fun or so easy. And it still is not today. For the call of Christ is to resist the desires of the crowd. The crowd wanted good things, freedom and independence and glory, but God wanted better things, love and grace and freedom from want. The people, in short, wanted the things of this world, and God wanted them to look for the things of the next. The crowd wanted economic security for themselves, for Israel, but God wanted abundance for the world. We haven't even gotten to the part yet where Jesus Christ and the disciples learn that he came not just for the Jewish people, but for all people. God's plan was so much bigger than the concerns of a small group of people in a very small period of time in a small corner of the world. His plans were for all people of all times in all places throughout the world. But you cannot expect a crowd to understand that. The crowd wanted justice, but they wanted it to come at the point of a sword. Even Jesus' disciples, as Peter would later do, wanted that. God's justice will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. Now this is a quote from the prophet Isaiah. You see, Jesus came with the expectations of the crowd, but these expectations have been borne out from years and years and centuries of not only the people wanting their freedom from first Assyria and then Babylon and then Greece and then Rome, but also from the prophets themselves. But again, the people perhaps intentionally misread what the prophets were promising. Later in the week, the crowd would want terrible things. They wanted vengeance, but God wanted forgiveness. Even upon the cross, Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The crowd wanted judgment, but God wanted us to give compassion. They wanted death, but God wanted life. And indeed, eternal life. It is in this way that the promises of the prophets, the promises of Mary when she gives her great Magnificat, the promise of Simeon, the man who saw Jesus in the temple and has this great soliloquy of all the things that he will do, the promises that we heard not that long ago at Christmas were fulfilled. But think about it. Easter is early this year. It's only been 3 months since Christmas, and have we remembered the promises exactly? Can you expect, therefore, the people to remember the promises exactly, as they had been waiting, in many cases, for 800 years? The long-awaited Messiah had come, and few people recognized him, because when he marched into Jerusalem, hailed as a king, he did not shy away from going to the cross. And in so many, and in the eyes of so many, that was evidence of his failure, evidence that his claim was false. But today, as we sit on the other side of that story, we celebrate Palm Sunday, for we know, we claim the cross as an instrument of his success in fulfilling the promises that the Messiah were to fulfill. God used Jesus to fulfill his promises to the world, but in a very unexpected way. And the question we should all ask ourselves is that if we were there that week in Jerusalem, not knowing how things would end and then go when the tide of the crowd began to turn, would we continue to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna to the King of Kings." Or would we be tempted to betray, deny, or abandon him, or at the very least write him off as another false prophet, another man who claimed to be one thing but could not fulfill or live up to his promises? Now, I don't think that any of us could honestly answer this question, but I believe we must always be mindful of it whenever God's promises are fulfilled in our lives in unexpected ways. The Bible shows us again and again that God is surprising. No one loves a plot twist more than God, so when it happens in our own life, may we continue to cry Hosanna, even if all we want to do is simply cry. I think that for us, that is the secret to being part of the in crowd, and knowing that the one who called a handful of disciples and the one who could have had a multitude of followers, that oftentimes what is so popular in the moment is so fleeting in eternity. Whatever we do and whatever we say in the days ahead and in our life ahead, let us always remember there may be safety in numbers, but rarely, rarely is there truth in numbers. It may be fun to be part of the in crowd or part of the crowd, to go along, to get along. But the gift that Christ gives us is the knowledge that the truth was seen by a very small number of people in the end. And from that, a large crowd has grown. Let us always remember that on Palm Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and especially in between. Amen. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 207 in the Chalice Hymnal. In the Cross of Christ I Glory, verses 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. spent so much of my youth wanting to be popular, to wear the right clothes, and to like the right things. And I know that mostly I failed at it, and every now and then there'd be this moment where I would say something or make a joke, and it would make the right kids laugh, and man, what a great rush it gave me for a short period of time. But then after a while, I started to realize that I didn't really like the popular kids. They weren't really very interesting, and they weren't really all that cool, in my opinion. And so the great joy of my life is when I finally decided that what I wanted to be was myself. And that was like the best decision I ever made. And it was not always easy, but that is what I spent most of my time to be and to do. And I mention that as we gather at this table because the disciples made a very difficult decision to follow Jesus. And for a while, perhaps it was lonely for them. Perhaps they felt maybe it was not right. But then they enter into Jerusalem, and they see the way he is received and celebrated. And they have to think in that moment that, yes, they did it right. They bet on the right colt or donkey, so to speak. They picked the right guy, and things were going to go great for them. And within a few days, it changed so much. At this table, we remember the Last Supper, which is basically the last moment they had before they understood that the wheels were going to come off the cart and the popular man they were following was going to become very unpopular. And in that moment, their faith was tested. Would they continue to worship him and follow him and believe in him when it was no longer cool to do so? And we know how it went. And of course, we must ask ourselves if we would have done anything different in their place. But we also give thanks that when it was all said and done, Jesus Christ returned, and when he came back, held no animosity towards the disciples, no anger or resentment, but offered only love and forgiveness. Because he knew them better than they knew themselves. Peter especially. He knew exactly what Peter would do, even though Peter denied it. I think the same is true for us. Human nature is such that it is difficult to go against the flow. It is difficult to believe when things are looking difficult or bad. But our salvation is not based upon our faithfulness, but Christ. Our salvation is rooted not in our strength of will, but in God's will alone. For this, above all things, let us give thanks. As we share in the meal this morning, we try not to rush too far ahead to the day of Easter and beyond, but certainly in this moment, we give thanks that we have this knowledge, that though we may fall short, though we may fail, Christ never will. There may be times in which we think it is not the cool thing to follow him or to believe in him, but he always thinks it is the cool thing to follow and believe us. Now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Jesus, on this Palm Sunday morning, we remember that you did not enter the holy city, Jerusalem, on a war horse, as Reverend Chris just said, but humbly on a donkey. You knew you were surrounded by murderers, yet you came in peace. And with your sacrifice, you utterly conquered death before the week had passed. We pray to you this morning, and we sing your praises. Please grant that we may ultimately share in your glorious resurrection. Christ, please be with us. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he blessed it, he broke it. And said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner he took the cup. After he blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now the community responds to the word of God. If any here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or dedicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is a solo by Ken Metzger, as we hear every year on this day, "A Holy City."
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill. As a shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sang, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. That would not pass away. It was the New Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna
Ken. And now let's bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth from this place knowing what is to come in the days ahead, but for now, shouting to the world, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the King of Kings. And let us leave now waving our palms high.